Friday night, we had a service in here, and right center was the big cross that's in the other room, all colored up, and it was right here under a bright light. And we focused on what it was like to be Friday night of that famous saying, you know, it may seem like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way. But right in that moment, what's it like to be Friday night and not know that Sunday is special? Have you ever heard that expression? It seems like Friday night, but Sunday's on the way. We only hear that generally because we know Sunday was Easter. But that first time that happened, that's not the way it was. So let me open up the book of John here and go verses 1. This is going to be a little bit of a reading here, but this is the story of one of the first Easters. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, and while it was still dark and sat and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb, she ran immediately to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were running toward the tomb. At the sunrise service, the pastor that spoke this morning said, Mary keeps looking. She's not looking for a risen Lord. She's looking for a body, but she keeps looking. She comes to the stone that morning looking to do some final last rites sort of details on Jesus' body and doesn't find it. Then they run to the tomb. Simon Peter came in second, and when he got into the tomb, he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head was not lying with the others, but was folded up a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And the disciples went back to their homes. I'm going to skip a little bit ahead here a moment to verse 19. On that evening, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be to you." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you withhold the forgiveness of any, it is withheld." But I want to get back to this moment of Easter morning. Can you sit with them for just a second and understand that even though Jesus had said it repeatedly, they had no understanding. They didn't get it. Their heads were in an upright and locked position. They had their understanding of how the world works. We have our understanding of how the world works too, but they, at this point in time, did not understand that it was possible that the stone could be rolled away and Jesus would be alive. The only possibilities they had in their mind were grave robbers and things like that. And so they were afraid because they were the disciples and they locked the door. Have you ever lived your life in such a way that even though the Lord is risen and it's good news, you're hiding behind a locked door, making sure that you're safe because they might be coming for you? Let me tell you what that is. That is death still has the last word in your life. But Jesus' rolling away of the stone and him being risen means one other thing. The graves and tombs have exits now. It's not a one-way street. There's a way out. Death doesn't have the last word. This is what it means when I say in the bulletin, He is my victory. He has opened the gates of hell and death so that that isn't the last word in our life. But the disciples here are living behind a locked door. Stay with me for a second and understand what it means to be afraid. Have you ever been afraid and just sat in that spot of fear, even though people around you were saying, no, it's okay, we're with you? Have you ever just been afraid? I want to invite you in to this spot and to understand that it is human to be afraid. It is. It is human to have this happen to you in such a way that you worry and that you lock the door of your heart up and you go, I'm afraid. I heard something new today and I don't know what it means, but I can't enter into that new stuff because I'm afraid. What if they hurt me? What if the people after me hurt me or reject me or they don't listen to me? Jesus' words come into this spot. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And still we live behind locked doors. Christians do this. Non-Christians do this. A lot of people do this. They live with their understanding and they think that's what there is and that's all there is. I'm here to tell you today that the Christian, actually, when you come to faith in Jesus and you accept Him and He breathes His Spirit on you and says, when you forgive people, they're forgiven because I'm in you. You are actually saying, there's more to this world than I previously understood, and I'm going to unlock my heart a little bit, and I'm not going to live in a barricaded room or a fortress where nobody can get at me, because Jesus has my back. Because even if they hurt me, even if they say, we don't believe them, that's not the last word on your life anymore. Death, even if they kill you, isn't the last word on your life anymore. When you believe in Jesus, it isn't the last word on His life. He comes and He stands amongst them. And yet we live in this world and on this world, don't we? Let me ask you that question. Has anybody here stopped living on this world at the moment? No, you're here. There is a place in this world, and there are lots of places in this world where everybody else around you is playing King of the Hill. They do it at work. They do it. Sometimes it feels like King of the Hill crossing Main Street in Colville. You take your life into your hands crossing 395, don't you? And momentum always wins. And so when you're on foot, it's a small game of King of the Hill. Every day it's, I wonder if they'll stop. And here we are. Here we are living in this thing where every little spot is the spot where we can lock our hearts and be afraid and forget to live as God's new created people, newly created, newly enlivened, newly unlocked people. He's trying to do something in us. And I need to make sure you understand this. from the text of the psalm that we are talking about, that Psalm 118, right down in the bottom, let me read you this text, because this is an important concept of what goes on in our lives in Easter. This is 118, verses 22 and just beyond. He is the stone that the builders rejected, but has become the cornerstone. The kingdom that God is building, the center point, the thing that steadies everything, the kingdom of God that is happening, the cornerstone of that, the steadying mark, the spot that keeps everything true and in line, that's Jesus. But not Jesus before the resurrection, it's Jesus after the resurrection. Because the world that plays King of the Hill is literally rejecting him on Friday night. And they're all rejecting him. And he's become the cornerstone, not because he was rejected, but because on Sunday morning the stone was rolled away and he was alive. He's the cornerstone. And so what that means in our lives, he has come that we may have life. He breathes his spirit upon us. He does this thing. He changes us as we just roll this stone away. And you have a sort of a stone in your heart that you can roll away too. But you continue to do this. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see, says Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Did you know that those texts go together? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is his doing, and it's wonderful to see. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In order to rejoice and be glad in the day, we need to do a couple of things. The very first thing we need to do is take the padlock off our hearts and let him in and stop living as though it's only Friday night and no Sunday matters. But there was a Sunday that mattered. Today we remember that Sunday that mattered. We say, Lord, please save us. Please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We will bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it. That's the text of how God builds a kingdom of people for his name's sake. And the way he does it is he takes the stone, or Jesus, not just a stone, Jesus, he's my rock, he's my savior, he's my deliverer, that stone, and he starts it as the center point, the foundation, the cornerstone of his house. And he begins to do this, and when we live behind the locked door, we go, no, we don't want that, we believe the world has power. But in order to get him into our hearts and understand that, we have to reject the world's power and choose the cornerstone or the open tomb. Now that's a little bit of a leap there, and I need to make sure you know that I know that's a leap. But here's the deal. You accept, without thinking about it, every day, before you've ever heard anything about Jesus, that the graveyard and the cemetery is the final resting place of where you're going to be. But when Jesus comes in and has the last word and opens the tombs, takes the door off, rolls the stone away, he gives you a choice that you never had before that moment. He gives you a choice to choose the life which is specifically to have your heart unlocked and alive in him, to say the grave no longer controls my life. He does. And this resurrection, this life that he breathes on his disciples, that he breathes on them and gives them the power to forgive sins. Now, did I connect those points for you so that you know what's going on? Because there's a spot in the story of Jesus where they bring a paralytic to him, somebody who can't walk, and he says, "Rise up and walk, your sins are forgiven." Do you know this story? rise up and walk, your sins are forgiven, and everybody around him starts grumbling. You know what I mean. He can't say that. That's not the right thing to say. He calls them on the carpet. What's easier to say? Rise up and walk, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk, your legs are healed? And the reason he asked this question is very specifically one thing. Are you ready? They can't say either and make it happen. They can't forgive his sins and make it happen, and they can't heal his legs and make him able to walk, which is easier if you don't have the power to do either. Neither. But he had the power to do both, and he can do that in you if you will accept and hear that the tomb, that stone rolls away. It just rolls away, and it gives him the last word on your locked up heart to say, you can be free. Rise up and walk. Your sins are forgiven. In this, Jesus is my victory. He is the one, the cornerstone that makes this all happen. This is Easter. Did you know that? He is risen. Do you know what to say? He is risen indeed. Now, I want to change your understanding on that last word. You know the word indeed is one word the way you say it, right? It is like, he is risen, actually. It's sort of that. But if you take that, he is risen, in, and you make it one word, and you take deed, and you make it another word, it's not actually, he has done it in action. He has, it's like a past tense of a verb. He has done it. Now I'm seeing my wife here as I'm struggling for what type of language we're talking about here, because she would know and I don't. And those of you who struggle with the actual forms of the language know that I do too. But here it is. He has risen. He has risen indeed. In actuality, actually, not just because it happened, but because it happened and ended death's reign, not only for those disciples, but for us. He has risen. He has risen indeed. May that be the last word for your heart and your life today. May that be the last word. Your precious name, Lord Jesus, we thank you so for your gift, for the removal of the stone that lays in front of our heart, for the removal of the padlock. May your bolt cutters just snip that sucker off. May we be free. May we know you risen indeed in our lives. In your precious name, amen.